Great is the Lord's faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with you. You have not changed your compassions, they fail not, as you have been, forever you will be. Great is the Lord's faithfulness, great is the Lord's faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed your hand has provided. Great is the Lord's faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to your great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is the Lord's faithfulness, great is the Lord's faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed your hand has provided. Great is the Lord's faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Your own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed your hand has provided. Great is the Lord's faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. I think that's so nice with the a cappella thing and all that. It's just nice. Thank you, brother. All right, I was going to end in prayer, but Pastor Alvin is going to be sharing here in a minute, so we'll let him open in prayer. But as we all know, today is Lord's Supper, and so he's going to be sharing a short sermon, and then we're going to go into the communion. And then please stick around, because I got something that you may be blessed with from Testimonies, Volume 1. I think it's page 25 to 8, and that's a small book, so it's not a lot. With that said, I'll drop the mic for Pastor Alvin.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Is my voice clear? Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor Nick, and also Brother Gilbert. Yeah. God's great is thy faithfulness, like that. So before we start, let's all kneel for prayer if you can. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this Sabbath day that we can gather once again to praise and worship you. Thank you so much for this technology that even though we are miles apart from each other, that we can fellowship together virtually. Thank you, Lord, for your holy presence through your Holy Spirit and inspiring us to love you more and continue in the faith. Thank you for blessing the children and the adult study that we had earlier. And we uplift again to you all the prayer requests of your children that they will be answered in accordance with your will. And we ask that you continue to bless us as we have our Lord's Supper service today. I also ask you to please bridle my tongue as I continue to speak on your behalf. Please forgive us, Father, for all the sins we have committed against thee, and may you grant us peace and joy as we worship you this Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the best of our ability, in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. Amen. All right, so today is October 12th. 2024. It's like half of the month already. It's so fast. So before we proceed to the Lord's Supper service, I will share a message that the Lord inspired me to talk about regarding the peace that He gives us. So I titled this mini sermon, Peace in You. Finding peace can be hard in this world filled with discord and hate. You know, Satan, he's the originator of sin. He really brought a lot of confusion and chaos to the earth. Imagine. But praise the Lord. Thank God for His love for us. Because He has bestowed us with an abundance of grace that helps us find peace through His word. In Isaiah 9:6, here Prophet Isaiah prophesied the characteristic of Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. He said here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. See? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and his mission and ultimate goal is to restore that peace that Satan and sin have disrupted in both heaven and earth. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you choose to let go of sin and welcome the love of Christ in your heart, you will definitely experience this amazing heavenly peace. That's why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. Why? For they shall be called the children of God. So when you have a spirit of peace, it really shows your true relationship with God. It's like others can see the beautiful character of Christ shining through you. So the love of Christ alone is the only foundation for peace. And when you accept the grace of Christ into your heart, it really helps to calm down any animosity, any conflict. It helps to settle disagreements and fills you with love. Why? Because you possess the truth, the peace of Christ rules in your heart. That's why even the Spirit of Prophecy said in 43:48.1, if we have the truth, we can afford to be calm and unexcited, and there's peace in there. Romans 12:17-18, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And 18 it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably or peaceably with all men. Yeah, do not repay evil with evil to anyone. And don't stress too much about every little bump or scratch that comes your way. But be careful. Be careful not to have too much self-respect, because pride can be dangerous and this will lead you to trouble. Why? For pride feels no need. And that spiritual condition is called Laodiceanism. Yeah, that's in Revelation 3:17. That's the message of Christ to the church of Laodicea. And he said here, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Yes, that's Laodiceanism. I don't need you. But knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, it can be a bit challenging to get along with unbelieving neighbors, friends, co-workers, even family, don't you think? But if you truly love God, you really need to put in the effort for this because it's super important even for your own benefit. To find happiness, we need to work on being at peace with everyone, no matter if they choose to be at peace with us or not. So keep pushing for it. Even when it seems tough, sometimes, yes, you just need to be humble, forgiving, and of course, patient, because this is the quality of the saints. So, forbearance, yes, thank you. Just keep trying to live peacefully with everyone and enjoy a peaceful life in Christ by God's grace. For it is written in Proverbs 16:7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. See? Following God's ways really brings him joy. We make him smile. Imagine. Jesus is smiling. The Father is smiling. The Holy Spirit is smiling because you please them. He can definitely jump in and help mend our relationships, even with those who might not be on our side. Yes. God alone can bring restoration, true restoration and true peace, even in the toughest times. And that's a promise we can rely, really count on when we end up in that situation. That's why Jesus said in John 14:27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, Jesus gives us his peace. And this peace is different from the peace you find in the world. Because this is an abiding and enduring peace that stands apart from the confusion, from the chaos around us. And it can calm our troubled and restless heart. So we really need to trust him and not let fear get the best of us. In Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. In other words, let's allow the peace of Christ to guide us, to guide our hearts. And as member of the body of Christ, we are encouraged to get along and live peacefully with one another, embracing love and truth. Make sure to take a moment to appreciate what you have. It can really help you feel more at peace inside. The peace within is very important. And this Lord's Supper that we are about to do is appointed by Christ to bring us more closer together. It actually demonstrates our unity with Christ, who is our head. And it shows that we are his true disciples. And in Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. He is giving strength to us now. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Do you feel it now? So we find our strength and peace in God. He brings us a sense of peace that's hard to describe. I cannot describe it. It's indescribable because we trust in Him. It is a peace that goes beyond what we can understand. So it is really comforting to think about how God brings peace to us, to His people, His remnant. James 3:18 says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So when we put in the effort for peace and reconciliation, we will see the positive results that come from it. We will produce the fruit of righteousness, which is actually the same as holiness. See, looking for peace not only benefits the people around us, but it also plays a big role in our own growth and spiritual development. In Psalms 119:165, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." See? They are connected. Peace, law. So finding peace of mind really comes from loving and following God's will or His commandments, His law. When we center our lives around His word and truly welcome into our hearts, we can walk with confidence, knowing that nothing can bring us down. Not even death. Or I just say it again, nothing. Romans 8:38-39. Oh, Sister Soom, thank you. Timing one. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord. So Romans 8:38-39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, imagine how the Apostle Paul and all the heroes of faith faced death with such courage. Just like John Huss, he was born at a stake and died singing. So these martyrs, these reformers, these heroes of faith, they were fearless because they have that inner peace in Christ, knowing that they follow God's will. So, if you really love God and follow His words, you can expect to find some amazing peace in your life. And if we align our lives with His will and follow His commandments, we can really find stability and security in His peace, no matter what's going on around us. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." As we seek peace, it's important to remember to do our best to get along with everyone around us. Holiness and peace go hand in hand, and both are super important for a genuine encounter with God. Oh yeah, thank you, Sister Hannah. Isaiah 32:17, it says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, as we were talking earlier, the world offers a fake peace. It promises temporal security through wicked and ungodly men. Just like the Pope of Rome, who has been all about pushing a counterfeit peace through ecumenism and this idea of universal brotherhood. And as we have tackled earlier, one of their goals for 2030 is what? This one-world government, that you will own nothing and what? Be happy. You will still be happy. And that is purely socialism controlling. It's going, and it is going to lead to enforcing the mark. And we know this mark is the Sunday laws. But, of course, the remnant of our seed will not be deceived. Why? Because we know that false peace is prophesied in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Yeah, they're going to use force. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, it says, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with Christ, and they shall not escape. In Matthew 10:34, it says, think not, Jesus said, that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You know, it seems a little contradictory, you know. But is it fascinating how peace and sword can actually work together? Yes, the gospel is all about peace. That's true. But the truth can hurt. And sometimes cause conflict, especially for those who disagree with it. That's why it is often called a sword. And the Word of God is like a two-edged sword, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Huh? Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In in manuscript 23b, July 25, 1896, there's very interesting statements here that the Spirit prophecy gave us about peace. It says, it says here, the peace that Christ causes peace and which he bequeathed to his disciples is not a peace which prevents all divisions, but it is a peace which is given and enjoyed in the midst of divisions. The peace that the faithful defender of the cause of Christ has is the consciousness that he is doing the will of God and reflecting his glory in good works. Yeah, this is the kind of peace that we have right now. It is an internal rather than external peace. Without our wars and fightings through the opposition of about enemies and the coldness and suspicion of those even who claim to be friends. Christ enjoins upon his followers to love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And this is found in Matthew 5:44. He would have us love those who oppress us and do us harm. We must not express in words and acts the spirit they manifest, but improve every opportunity to do them good. But while we are required to be Christ-like toward those who are our enemies, we must not, in order to have peace, cover up the faults of those we see in error. Jesus, the world's Redeemer, never purchased peace by covering iniquity or by anything like compromise. Yeah, I have a sermon about compromise that maybe we can hear in the future. Though his heart was constantly overflowing with love for the whole human race, he was never indulgent to their sins. He was too much their friend to remain silent while they were pursuing a course which would ruin their souls, the souls he had purchased with his own blood. He was a stern reprover of all vice, and his peace was the consciousness of having done the will of his Father, rather than a condition of things that existing or existed as the result of having done his duty. He labored that man should be true to himself in being all that God would have him, and true to his higher and eternal interests, living in a world marred and seared with a curse brought upon it by disobedience. He could not be at peace with it unless he left it unwarned, uninstructed, and unrebuked. This would be to purchase peace at the neglect of duty. Everyone who loves Jesus and the souls for whom he died will follow after the things that make for peace. But his followers are to take special care lest in their efforts to prevent discord, the truth is surrendered. Lest in his warding off divisions, they make a sacrifice for its principles. True brotherhood can never be maintained by compromising principle. As surely as Christians approach the Christ-like model, so surely will they experience the strength and venom of that old serpent, the devil. This is how to secure the true peace. And finally, in John 16:33, this is the last text before we go to the second part. Jesus said to us, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus knows that trials and difficulties are part of life in this fallen world. But he gives us his peace. It is comforting to realize that he has already conquered the world, defeated the enemy, and because of him, we can find a peace that goes beyond what we can even comprehend. Just always remember, if you have Christ in your heart, there is peace in you. I hope and pray that you are blessed. Amen. Yeah. There's peace in Christ. Yeah, Brother Dwayne, I requested that he gonna pray that in our final song. Praise the Lord. Thank you in advance, Brother Dwayne. Before we proceed with the ordinance of foot washing, of course, we know this is all about humility. I'd like to read a passage from John 13, 3-5, up to 15. Okay, 3-5 and then 12-15. Okay. Oh, yeah. So it's not showing everything. Okay. Let me limit it. Okay. Let me paste it. Okay, I'll paste here John 13:33-5. And then John 13:12-15. Okay. It says here, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. In 12 to 15, same chapter. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. My dear brothers and sisters, I also like to take this opportunity to humbly ask that you forgive me and my wife and my family if we have unknowingly offended anyone here. We strive to have peace with God and peace with one another. And with that, let's end the first part of the Lord's Supper service and then have a 15-minute break. This time we will partake in the Lord's Supper. Following this, Brother Dwayne will play worship music while we wash each other's feet. And time check now is 2:15. So we'll be back on after 15 minutes in 2:30. So I'll see you then.
Call me Master Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master Lord, and ye say well. So I am. If I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, he also ought to wash one another's feet. He called me Master Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master Lord, and ye say well. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. He called me Master Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master Lord, and ye say well. So the servant is not greater than his Lord, not a heathen stands greater than he that sent me. He called me Master Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master Lord, and ye say well. So I am. So I am.
I'm so glad. My voice already
to be glory and praise all through my day. For you, my dear Lord, for you, my dear Lord, for you, Lord, my love. Although in my weakness, in temptation I was trapped, you gave your hand to me, you helped and lift me up. Now again I'm walking with the knowledge of your love. But life will be much lighter with you. Lord of my life, to you will I abide. You rescued me from sadness, and each day I have delight. My voice awakes to give glory and praise all through my day. For you, my dear Lord, for you, Lord, my life. Seasons and seasons fade away, and each night breaks into new day. To you will I surrender my life, not to wonder, with longing in my heart to see your face. Lord of my life, to you will I abide. You rescued me from sadness, and each day I have delight. My voice I raise to give glory and praise all through my day. For you, my dear Lord, for you, my dear Lord, for you, Lord, my love.
Blood of Jesus. Nothing can forsaken at all, not a good that I have done. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I flow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood.
Okay, we are back. So let's keep going here. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26 of 1 Corinthians 11. It says here, "For I have receive of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The Lord's Supper was set on Thursday evening," you know this, just before Christ's betrayal. And in verse 24 it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So the unleavened bread, this symbolizes the body of Christ." And in verse 25 it says, "After the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." We know that the wine symbolizes the blood of Christ, which was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. And in verse 26, we are told, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." So as we gather for this Holy Supper, let's remember the promise that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will come again to take us to heaven to be with Him forever. Finally, let's read about what Jesus really wanted to do with us in person up in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 26:29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Wow. So being with Jesus is just so comforting, and it's so exciting. That's why we can say, "Come, come, Lord Jesus, take us with you now. We are homesick," right? So anyway, before we partake, let's take a moment to pray. I hope you have your bread and your grape juice with you. We're going to pray before we take them, eat them. So again, please bow on your knees if you can. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, please bless this bread and wine, which represent the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. And we remember His sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your unfailing love for us. Thank you for the great privilege you have bestowed upon us. And most especially, thank you for the inner peace that you promised, because we know that we choose your will and not our way. Yes, Father God, we are overjoyed, and we sincerely long to be with you and the Holy Spirit in that kingdom where Jesus, the Prince of Peace, our righteousness, our King and Redeemer, will share the fruit of the vine with us face to face. Thank you so, so much for cleansing us from our sins. For we pray in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You can now be seated. And before that, in Matthew 26:26, Jesus said before eating the bread, Matthew 26:26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body." And so, with that, we begin to eat the bread. Let's please eat the bread. And now, let us continue by reading the rest of Matthew 26:27-28. And this is before we start to drink the wine. It says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And with that, we all drink wine. Please drink the unfermented wine of grape juice, my dear brothers and sisters. Finally, in Matthew 26:30, we read, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So, we will close our service with a song, followed by a closing prayer. Thank you, Brother Dwayne.
There's peace in Christ when we are the prison. Fill of love, He fell for us. He has borne our sins. Listen to His word. Let them come alive. If we know Him as He is, there's peace in Christ. He gives us hope when hope is gone. He gives us strength when you can't go wrong. He gives us shelter in the storms of life. There's no peace on earth. There's peace in Christ. There's peace in Christ when we walk with Him through the streets of Galilee to Jerusalem. Let the broken heart find a cheer-filled eyes. There was the way He lived. There's peace in Christ. He gives us hope when hope is gone. He gives us strength when we can't go wrong. He gives us shelter in storms of life. There's no peace on earth. There's peace in Christ. He gives us hope. He gives us hope when hope is gone. He gives us strength when we can't go wrong. He gives us shelter in the storms of life when there's no peace on earth. There's peace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Jade. That's really beautiful. Praise the Lord for the talent the Lord gave you. Praise the Lord again. Beautiful song. So, again, let's kneel down for prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly, we cannot thank you enough for your peace, for your love, and for the salvation you have provided us. You are truly amazing, wonderful, and gracious. We give praise and glory to the Badet family because you all deserve these things. And thank you, Lord, for becoming a part of your children who will inherit eternal life. And we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to be the controlling power in our lives. And may we continue to feel the peace of Christ, the inner peace amid this troubled world, and not to compromise the truth in order to secure external peace. Please, Father, help us prepare for your kingdom. And please stay with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day. For all of this, we pray in the name of our loving Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.